We've been in a series called Jesus Is, and I'm just so thankful for it. We don't really have a huge amount of revelation here, but you know what? It's always good to be reminded of things. You know, Paul said that. I'm not going to be bothered not to remind you some things. And so last week we went over in 2 Timothy, we know one of the greatest verses in 2 Timothy, I think it's 3:16, it says that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Come on. I need a little feedback. God has not given to you or me a spirit of fear, but he's given us a threefold blessing of power, love, and a sound mind. The word power is dunamis, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead he gave to us. Amen? And love, which is agape love, the love as God has it. I can't love people that are unlovable in my own power. I can only love people that are unlovable with God's love, with agape love. And sound mind. Everyone say, I have the mind of Christ. That's what the Bible says. I have the mind of Christ. And I have to sometimes straighten up some folks when they say, I'm not sure what God wants me to do. No, you do know it. You just haven't heard it yet. Huh? We know what God wants us to do. God, by his Spirit, speaks to us. And I'm thankful for that. So, First Titus. There is First Titus, and only First Titus, Titus 1. Titus was a great protege of Paul's, as I talked about, needing somebody above us and somebody next to us and somebody below us that we pour into. Paul poured his life into Titus, and he became a great believer, did a lot of great things for the kingdom of God. So let's get introduced to Titus today in chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And on your outline, I have some things that are underlined and highlighted, so we'll go back to those in a second here. But Paul, who was a bondservant of God, and, everyone say and, that's key, we'll get back to that, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but now, in due time, manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior, remember this is Paul speaking, to Titus, a true son in common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. So may God add a blessing to the reading and teaching of his word. You know, the Bible tells us that if you really want to be a great person, you should go to college and get a degree. If you want to be a great person, you should try to get a job that makes a lot of money. If you want to be a great person, you want to step on a few people's toes to get there. If you want to be a great person, what does the Bible tell us to do? To be a servant of all. Everyone say servant. So Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, said Paul, a servant. See, Paul was willing to serve. I shared that story a few weeks ago about it. Patient that was cantankerous with me, and I just said, I'm here to serve you. You know, that needs to be our attitude. I'm here to serve and bless you, be a blessing to you. And so we want to be reminded that if we want to be great in the kingdom of God, Jesus is the greatest servant. He gave us that example because he came not to be served, but to serve. Amen. Salvation, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. See, eternal life is the greatest promise on the planet. There's no lottery. The money that Elon Musk has, nothing. Nothing weighs against the promise of eternal life. Amen? It's the biggest promise. The Bible says it says, if you gain the whole world, but lose your own soul, for what profits you that if you gain the whole world? Nothing. Because the whole world is going to stay here when we graduate. We leave the world behind. And when we get saved, we need to leave the world and its systems behind. Amen? Verse 3. one of the goals that I have, but in due time, manifesting His word through preaching. I love to preach. I love to teach. I want is you to take something home that you've not heard before to help you grow in the Lord. But in due time, manifested His word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. A lot of people were blessed because Paul was a great preacher, and Titus became that too. And then verse 4, to introduce the book of Titus, to Titus, a true son in common faith. Everyone say these three words with me: grace, mercy, and peace. We know that grace right there is the unmerited favor and blessing of God. You can't buy grace. You can't earn grace. You can't do enough things to get grace other than receive it. Grace is free. Hallelujah. If I put a stack of $100 bills up here and said, come help yourself, would you run up here for them? I would hope so. I would. I'm no dummy. I got bills to pay. Well, there's grace right here. We just have to run after it, get it, grab it, hold on to it. Unmerited favor and blessing. Yeah, receive, not earn. Mercy, God's compassion withholding punishment from sin. God, I remember when I did stuff bad when I was a young man and there was a belt in one drawer in the kitchen. And boy, when that drawer opened up, I knew I was in trouble. I did not like that sound. But see, we deserve full punishment, but yet God paid that price for us. Amen. And then that peace. And I thought about, remember Jensen Franklin's worship leader that sang that song, when Jesus comes, all fear is gone away. And I thought about that when, about the word peace. It goes into our soul. So there, grace, mercy, and peace. That's our introduction to the book of Titus. Let's look at sound doctrine. Now, I'm not going to go into the whole shindig of doctrine that Paul went into, but let's look at Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Now, God's readiness to give and forgive. I love that. What's God ready to do? To give and forgive is now public. Salvation is available to everyone. Verse 12. We're being shown, by the way, this is in the message. We're being shown how to turn our backs on a godless, indulgent life, how to take on a God-filled, God-honoring life. This new life is starting right now. Verse 13. And it's whetting our appetites for the glorious day when our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, appears. And He offered Himself as a sacrifice to free us from a dark, rebellious life into this good, pure life, making us a people He can be proud of, energetic in His goodness. I love that. Energio. I bet you there's a power word in there. So as we look at this doctrine of the Scriptures in Titus 2, just a couple of things. We want to remember about grace. I've talked about grace multiple times, even this morning. And that's God's readiness to give and forgive. Recently, we've gone through a real strong trial, and we've had to work. I'll tell you what, forgiveness isn't always easy. Everyone say that. Forgiveness is not always easy, but it's essential, and it's not optional. You may go through something this afternoon, and you go, you know, Pastor Mike said, I got to forgive him. Yeah, we've been going through some things, got trials where we had to really make an effort to say, you know, God, we choose to forgive him. It's not a feeling. If you've been wronged and you're hurt, doesn't matter whether you're hurt. What matters is choose to forgive Him. It's a choice. It's not a feeling. The feeling will come when the grace of God comes after we choose to forgive. But remember, forgiveness is a choice. Amen? Jesus came because He chose to come and give us that forgiveness. And how to live a life God-filled and God-honoring. We're doing that here today. We're reading the Word, studying the Word, hearing the preaching of the Word to honor God. And that God wants to make us proud, make Him proud of our lives. And we do that by following Him. And Titus did that too because he followed after Paul. Number three, Graham Cook is really good on this subject. I'll bet you could just pull up about any podcast of his. And he's always talking about how kind God is. And how the Scripture says it's the kindness of God, not the judgment of God, but it's the kindness of God that leads us to repent. It's the kindness of God that leads us to Him. We don't want to go to some mean ogre that's going to beat us over the head with a bat. We always can come back to God, who is full of grace and mercy and peace, and I love that. It's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. And, you know, repentance, again, it's not, repentance isn't a feeling. It's a choice, you know? And sometimes I just say it out loud. God, I just repent of that thought. I repent of that attitude. Lord, I just choose to repent. And you know what? Keep saying it until it comes. It's really not difficult, okay? Say repentance is a choice. Repentance is a choice. Yeah. Yeah. So we want to remember that. And I love that in verse 4. But when the kindness and the love of God of our Savior appeared to us. That's really awesome. Romans 2:4 also supports this. Or you despise the riches of His goodness. The riches of what? Riches of His bank account? The riches of the people He knows? The riches of His clothing? The riches of all the things that He does? And, you know, no. It's the riches of the glory of Christ. That's where that comes from, right? I love that. The riches of His goodness, His forbearance, His long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. God always accepts the repentance. Amen? We need to live a life of repentance. It's not a one-time deal just getting saved. We need to repent every day. Everyone say, every day. Every day, I live for You. His kindness is meant to inspire repentance and a closer relationship with Him. Hallelujah. So, now that I've gone through some of the little thoughts there, let's finish here. Titus 3, verses 5 through 7, one of the great famous scriptures. It's a great Awana verse. I remember memorizing this with our kids. Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. According to His mercy, not according to His judgment, according to His mercy. That's His hesed, His loving kindness in the Hebrew. He saved us through the washing, the regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Verse 6. I think. Yeah. Do you have a 6 and a 7, Larry? Yeah. Thank you. Let's go to 6. Whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. In verse 7. Having been justified by His grace, that we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And I don't know about you, but eternal life requires two deaths. The first one already happened. Jesus died. And because He died, we can have eternal life. But there needs to be another death, a second death. And it's you and me. We must be dead to sin and alive unto God. We must be dead to ourselves. We must be dead to our own desires and wants and die to self and live to Christ. So there's two deaths required to be saved. One, Jesus's, which has already been done, and then ours. We have to die to ourselves. Amen? That was kind of interesting. So, all right. Well, praise the Lord. So we want just to remember how great it is to have the examples of Titus, that Jesus is grace, Jesus is salvation, He is repentance. So why don't we stand? Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the sound doctrine that we look at in the Scriptures, Lord. And we're so thankful that Jesus is a lot of things to us. But Lord, He's our grace, He's our mercy, He's our peace. And Lord, we go forth from this house today with Your grace, with Your mercy, and Your peace as we die to ourselves and live again to Christ. And for that, we give You praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted amen. 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 Thank you, everybody.